This is a good start, eh?
Yeah, I tried Skype with four people.
Yeah, I've normally done two or three, and they're often around the world, so... Hello, Pat!
Hello, hello!
Hi!
We're here! Hello, welcome, and good evening!
Hello, hello, hello! Okay, so everyone's here!
Fantastic!
Everyone that I know about, if there's anyone else I haven't called in, well, it's just tough. They can call us in.
Oh, this is just brilliant. Thank you so much for organising this. You are a star.
No, that's fine. Look, it's going to be a good test for us. And I think with just a small group for the first one, it's actually perfect. So what I'll do is I'll introduce Felicity and then she'll answer some of the questions that we've given her. And keep it quite relaxed. You can ask questions and jump in. And because I know your voices, I'll tell her who's who. But I think what would be really useful for Felicity is if, once I've introduced her, if each of you, starting with Sue, Erica, then Susan, then Pat, to introduce yourselves so that she has a bit of an idea of who you are and where you are in your journey, that would be great. And what else? Yeah, because there's no kind of lift your hand up in this, unfortunately. It's a bit of a
free for all.
Suck it and see. We'll get more professional eventually.
No, this is great, Helen.
Oh dear. Okay, so let's get started. Basically, Felicity, I came across in
online giveaway things.
Yeah, one of those wonderful giveaways. And Felicity was great. And we chatted while I was in Australia. And she gave me a lot of advice and guidance on managing my Facebook and my Twitter accounts and a bit of Pinterest, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just when we were having another conversation recently, I just said, you know, let's have a little webinar. And Felicity so kindly said she would do it. She's an online marketing expert, and I think she'll really add some value. And she's based in good old Portland, Oregon, which is miles away from us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. here.
She's just woken up, having her breakfast. We're ready for dinner.
Yeah.
So thank you, Felicity. It's great to have you here. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm super excited. I love meeting people from around the world, and I'm guessing these three fabulous ladies are just as awesome as you are.
Oh, they're even better.
I don't know if that's possible.
Okay, Sue, you start.
Thanks, Helen. Hi, Felicity.
Hello, Miss Sue. How are you?
Hello. I'm Sue, and I live in Suffolk, which is the eastern side of the UK, in quite a sleepy little village, and I want to be a global coach. But the great thing I think about coaching is that you can do that, and the great thing about the internet is that you can do that too. So I'm right at the beginning of my journey, and I'm still trying to nail down my niche at the moment, and I'm also trying to get my head around social media, which is why I was interested in this webinar.
Awesome.
I'm not really okay with it at all, and I'm not sure whether my target market is going to be using social media that much, but we shall see.
Okay.
So that's me.
Awesome.
Okay, Susan.
Hi, I'm Susan, and I'm in Scotland. So, and I've been working over the last few months just trying to get clear on my niche, and I believe I am clear now. I want to help business owners who have got lots of big ideas to prioritise their ideas and get them done. So I've been updating my website and I'm all ready to go. And I've got started in social media, but not getting that much of a return for the effort I'm putting in. So anything you can do to help would be great. I've been blogging and posting blogs and Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups and out to my list, and really not getting much take up on it. So
okay.
Any help you could give in that would be great.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Thanks, Susan. And Pat.
Hello, Felicity. I'm Pat. What a lovely range of accents we have going on tonight, don't we?
It's pretty fabulous.
Or this morning for Felicity. I'm Pat. I'm a hypnotherapist and NLP coach. I've been working for a few years now, but really now seriously want to get the business up and running. I've sort of been messing about really like we do, sitting on the fringes.
Right.
I use Facebook, I use Twitter, but I don't think I use them particularly successfully. I'm sure I could be doing a lot better than I do. And I'm also interested in maybe sort of the Google ads. Is that something that's worth doing? How do you do it? So yes, I have a lot of questions and not many answers. So I'm really looking forward to you this morning or this evening.
Okay.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Over to you, Felicity.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm delighted to meet you ladies, and I have a list of questions that Helen sent me ahead of time, so I'm just going to start, and if you ladies have questions or follow-up or whatever, we'll dig in. I have no timeline on when this needs to end. I know it's your dinner time, but I don't eat lunch for another 2 hours, so I'm happy to stay on and answer questions as long as you've got them.
Thank you.
The first big... I had a bunch of questions that were sort of just how to use social media in general, so that's where I'm going to start, because that seems sort of the biggest one, and then we can talk about specifically, you know, like LinkedIn and Facebook and all that jazz. But I think the most common question, I think Sue sent this one in, was basically the question that we get all the time, which is, how do you use social media effectively in the shortest amount of time? Which is what everybody wants to know. And, you know, some of the other questions go, how often should you post? You know, how do you figure out who's hanging out on what social media site? All of those are sort of the golden questions, right, that go with social media. Everybody wants to know those. So... using social media in the shortest amount of time and most effectively depends a little bit on which sites you're using. Facebook takes more time than Twitter, Pinterest takes no time at all, and Google Plus can take some or little time depending on what you're doing on it. But essentially, I'm a kind of an organized neat freak, so I actually sat down and made myself a spreadsheet, and I was like, okay, you know, who do I want to connect with on each of these sites, you know, and how often do I want to connect with them a week? And so when I sit down to do my social media, and I'm not talking about posting, I'm talking about just, you know, like interacting with other people, I honestly follow my spreadsheet. And I'm like, okay, you know, yesterday I talked to these 5 people, so today I want to see if these 5 people have recently posted something, recently said something, you know, posted a blog, whatever. So that's what I do with my social media. So I set aside, you know, again, Facebook takes a little bit more time. I probably set aside half an hour a day to run through my Facebook stuff, and I usually spend, you know, 15 or 20 minutes on Twitter just talking to people. You know, if they've shared a blog post, you know, I write something back to them that says, oh, I really liked this, and then I retweet it. If I'm on Facebook, you know, somebody asks a question, I answer it, or if they share a really funny picture, then I share it. And that, in terms of engagement, is really what I do to get the most out of my time. And it's really easy to get lost. I mean, I've definitely spent a couple hours, especially if I'm behind a few days on my, you know, my checklist of people. I can definitely spend a few hours on it. But I think if you're organized and you have an idea of who exactly you want to talk to, I think, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how many sites you're on, is probably all you need to really interact with people. Does that make sense?
Hmm. Yeah, it does. And do you just do that once a day? Are you very, you know, structured in that way that you just let yourself do it for an hour a day and then you don't dip in and out?
Well, you know, in theory, I should. In theory, I do it almost every day. I take Saturdays off, so I'm usually not online or email or anything on Saturdays. And sometimes Sundays are spotty, too. If I'm working on a blog or whatever, I don't generally pop into social media. But Monday through Friday... I do. I do set aside about an hour, usually in the morning, because again, I'm on the West Coast and everybody else who's on the East Coast or in Europe is already through their day. So I usually do it in the morning just so that I can sort of catch people while they're still online. I am guilty of popping in and out during the rest of the day, especially with Facebook, because people will write back, or I'm active in a lot of Facebook groups for different businesses, you know, business courses that I've been in, and so people will often reply. But I usually do those on my breaks, you know, instead of getting up and going for a walk, which is what they tell you to do. I usually just pop into Facebook for 10 minutes or so and see if anybody has replied. And the same thing with Twitter. You know, I usually pop in and just see if somebody... because the whole point is having a conversation, right? And it's sort of awkward to have a conversation if you only pop in once a day.
I'm interested in that spreadsheet you keep, Felicity. I'm so, like, I'm an organized, disorganized person, and I get quite excited when I hear about all these fantastic ways that people manage their lives. And when I hear a spreadsheet that you actually manage your people that you talk to. So yeah. I'm starting to build contacts on Twitter. I love the fact that you can communicate with people and, as you say, have a conversation with them, which is quite extraordinary. I mean, I actually was introduced to a networking group simply because I asked some of my Twitter followers what were the best networking groups, and I direct message them. And it works because they reply, as opposed to a random email that comes into their inbox.
Yeah.
So I'm becoming quite a fan of Twitter, even though I don't have billions of followers or anything. I just want to know, so those sort of people, do you just keep them on your spreadsheet?
Yep.
And,
I do.
And watch how you build up a relationship with them.
Yeah, so my spreadsheet is pretty Emily retentive comprehensive. I mean, it's got Facebook, it's got Google Plus, it's got Twitter, it's got the blogs that I follow and comment on, because I'm very much, if I don't have it listed down somewhere, my brain keeps sending off these little, like, forget, don't forget this and don't forget that. So yeah, I have a list. In fact, I had it open and I closed it before this session. I don't know if I can, let me find it here. So what I went through, because this is also part of the course that I'm in now. So I went through and I said, okay, what Facebook pages are my clients maybe hanging out at? And I made a list. Actually, what I did is I added them to my page. So when I go into my Facebook page, I can just look at all the updates from people that I follow, other businesses I follow. But I went through Twitter. I literally went through Twitter and I was like, who do I know in the space that I really enjoy connecting with, that has a market that's close to mine, you know, that maybe, is an opportunity to do a guest post on sometime in the future when we have a relationship. And there's a list of, let me see how many are on this Twitter list. Oops. Takes up the whole page. There are 33 names on my list. I don't connect with all of them. Some of them are less active on Twitter than others. So once I got my list together, I color coded them by how many followers they had.
Wow.
So I've got my top tier, which is pretty, I think the top tier was somewhere like over 10,000 followers, and then I've got my middle tier, which is in like 5 to 10,000, and then I've got my bottom tier. And obviously, I connect with the ones who have more followers more often.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, return on your dollars. That's, you know, if you're having a conversation with two people who have followers of 10,000 versus five people who have followers of 1,000, you know, you're getting your name out in front of more people. So I usually try to connect with my top tier every day if I can. Some of them don't post every day, so, you know, every couple of days during the week. You know, my middle tier, well, I'll probably talk to two or three times a week, and the bottom tier I'll probably talk to, you know, once or twice a week. And some of the bottom tier, you know, if they have the least number of Twitter followers, that means they're also the least active on, you know, on, or they're active somewhere else. Like, a couple of these people, I comment on their blogs, or they're really active on Facebook, and so Twitter is sort of like the secondary communication stream. I'm happy to send you. I don't know if anybody else has something like this. I recently put this together because, again, I was just like, I can't keep track of everybody in my brain. And for me, this helps me organize my time, you know, instead of just sitting down in front of Facebook and going, oh, you know, I need to do something on Facebook. This gives me, like, my marching orders. I can see exactly, you know, who I want to talk to.
That's, I don't know about everyone else, but that kind of gets, yeah, that would be hugely helpful, even just to see the titles. I don't expect to see all your contacts, but even just knowing how it's laid out, so it's a framework, would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to send out some of the things I shortcut. Like, I don't have a list of all the Facebook pages I follow because it was hugely long, and I was like, I need the spreadsheet to be helpful. And Google Plus is the same. I don't actually have a list. I just say, you know, the most recent posts by, because I have in Facebook. You know, I have all the pages I'm following, but in Google Plus you can do circles, and so I just basically have a circle that I put everybody in that I wanted to follow, and I just check every day to see what's new in that circle. So that's how I maximize my time, and some of these will change. Like, Richard Branson is on my Twitter list, but I never have anything to say to him, so I'm thinking I might take him off. But he is fun to watch. I mean, he's fun to follow, but I don't ever have conversations with him.
Okay.
So that was the... Any other big sort of big picture questions about how to use your Facebook time? I know the other question that people asked was what to post, and I'm going to get to that next.
Anything else on that, guys?
No, I thought that was really useful, actually. That's a really useful way of organizing.
Brilliant. I'm good with organizing and plans. Execution, not always my speciality, which is why I need people like Susan to tell me to focus on things, but organization is great.
Okay. So when you're looking at the people that you follow or communicate with every day, these are people, they're not potential clients, but they're people that have got big followings themselves.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So for example, Social Media Examiner, which is a huge website in the world of social media and online marketing. You know, every time that I reply to them, this is true of any social media site, any time that I reply to them and I include their Twitter handle or their Facebook handle or whatever it is in my message, that goes out to everybody on their list. So I'm just basically, you know, I'm having conversations with them and I'm also putting my name in front of their people. At the moment, my list is pretty much driven by places I want to start guest posting in the next 6 months or so. So I'm really looking at, you know, Social Media Examiner will never be a client of mine just because they do this for a living, but some of their clients, obviously some of the people who are following them, are interested in the stuff that they teach, and Social Media Examiner itself is not a business that actually coaches people, they just blog about it. So, you know, if I could get a guest post on their website through having interacted with them on Twitter, that would be incredible.
And you use that then to drive traffic to your opt-in page, is that what you do?
Some of it. I don't do a lot. Go ahead.
Does that then result in people opting into your list or what?
No, it often results in people following me on Twitter or Facebook, you know, whatever platform I'm on, people will start following me, which is kind of step one. And then when I post, which sort of gets to the next question, you know, what do you post and how often do you post? You know, so if I've been talking to Social Media Examiner and, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, this Felicity person seems to be pretty funny or seems to know what she's talking about, let me follow her on Twitter, because that's what Twitter does.
So then
once they start following me, they see not just my conversations, but they see that I'm posting links to my blog, they see that I'm posting links to other places, you know, they see that I'm posting the occasional link to my services page or, you know, talking about the free training, the free Facebook training I offer, and that's what gets people back to my website. So it's kind of a two-step process. Because you don't want to be that person who horns in on somebody else's social media site just so you can promote yourself. I mean, that's basically like walking up to a group at a networking event going, I don't care who you are, but take my business card. You know, it just, nobody likes that.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, if it is online, it's really hard to build that personal relationship as fast as you do when you meet in person.
Yes.
So it's going to take a few more touch points and a few more discussions and a few more watching you and coming to you in different ways, like either reading your website or your Twitter feeds or your Facebook updates or whatever. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, social media is great because it takes less time than a one-on-one conversation. But on the flip side, you get less out of it. You know, it's not as solid as a one-on-one conversation. It's not as solid as a conversation that the five of us are having right now.
Yeah.
So it takes, you know, 140 characters and 2 minutes to write a tweet, you know, to somebody, and that's great. But it's going to take a lot more of that to come up to a point. And because I'm talking about Twitter specifically, you don't stay on Twitter. You know, I mean, if these people that I'm talking with, Twitter is sort of, you know, it's the networking event, right? You meet them at a networking event, you have a couple of conversations, they sort of know your name. Most of these people, I'm also commenting on their blog, and I'm also on their email list. So if they ever send an email out that has a question in it, you know, they say, reply, you know, and tell me what you think. I reply to those, I comment on their blog. So Twitter is sort of the place where you start, and then, but you know, nobody makes solid relationships on Twitter, so you move it somewhere else. You know, you start talking to them over email, or you start talking to them by direct messages, or on their blog, somewhere else that's a little more conversation-oriented and not just, you know, 140 character sentences.
Okay. Have you got business through using Twitter or Facebook, Felicity?
I have gotten some from Facebook. I use Twitter primarily not to find clients, but to network with my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them hang out on Twitter. So I haven't gotten as many from Twitter as I have from Facebook, because the platforms mm-hmm. are different and because my use of them is different. I know that there are some people who have had great success with Twitter. The thing that I find a problem, and I know that, Sue, this was one of your questions too, because you and I have a similar market, and Susan as well, the three of us are all kind of working with entrepreneurs or small business owners. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, if you're dealing with what I call a lay person, you know, so somebody who is new to the business and marketing world, they're not on Twitter. Because to a lot of people, Twitter is still that platform that college kids hang out on. Even though that's not statistically true, the conception of it is that Twitter is still that, you know, that thing that their kids do on their smartphone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so Twitter can be a little... Now, if your client market is somebody who has been in business for a couple of years, chances are they are much higher that they're on Twitter, because they've sort of figured out that that public persona of Twitter is not right. But, you know, I find a lot of new people are like, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. All I want to know about is Facebook, because that's all they know. You know, that's the thing that seems comfortable to them. So there are probably a lot of clients hanging out on Twitter, and a lot of, you know, a lot of my peers are on Twitter, and they're happy to recommend me. They're happy to retweet me to their lists. But Twitter has not been a great source for me, and that's okay. You know, I use it mostly to keep track of other people in my field.
Yeah.
Facebook has been a lot better. Facebook has been a lot better for me, because I comment on other people's posts, because people can message me through Facebook and we can have, you know, conversations back and forth through messaging. I have had several people come through Facebook, both to be clients and then also just to, you know, to make connections. People will often, you know, send me a personal email and say, hey, you know, I really liked what you said here, and, you know, whatever. So that Facebook has been a little better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk about the other sort of big picture question, which is...
Oops, sorry. That's just my rant. You carry on.
Okay. The other question that people often ask, sort of connected with this, is how often do you post, right? I mean, how often do you really... So aside from talking to people, which is different than posting your own stuff, how often do you really need to post your own stuff? You know, links to your blog post, links to your website, links to your opt-in, links to whatever... different people say different things, but usually somewhere between 25% and 30% of whatever you post of your own, you know, updates should be something related to your business. So I found, you know, like, so whether it's a personal behind the scenes thing, you know, like right before I got on the call, I just posted something like, oh, you know, I'm going to get on this Q&A call in a couple minutes. I'm really excited to meet people from around the country. So that's one kind of update. My Facebook page, for whatever reason, likes those updates the best. I get a lot more play out of the ones that don't have any links to anything than the ones that do. But I usually post on Facebook. I try to post on Facebook 3 or 4 times a day. And I try to post about twice that much on Twitter, just because Twitter goes by so much faster. You know, there's just so much more going on, and it's so easy to get lost in the stream. But I post different things on Twitter. Twitter, I almost always just send out articles, you know, other people's blog posts or my blog posts that I think are interesting. And Facebook, I do a lot more of actual, like, you know, I'll write something about a picture, or I'll write a status update, or I'll write, you know, a more of an explanation about why I linked to a specific blog post. And again, I have a different, I used to have a spreadsheet for that too, and now I just sort of do it by feel, because I kind of have a pattern down. But in the beginning, when I was trying to figure it out, again, planning an anal retentive me, I actually made a spreadsheet with every day, and I, you know, I was like, you know, and I would track what I posted, because I use Hootsuite. I use Hootsuite to do a lot of this stuff in advance, because I can't take time to do, I'm a big picture person. I wanted to do it all at once. So I would sit down one day a week and I would plan out, you know, I want to be able to post a link to my blog every 2 days. And so I would just schedule it. You know, I want to be able to post a link to my services page every 3 or 4 days. And I would just schedule it. You know, I just have a new, freebie up on my website. I just put it up about 6 weeks ago, which is a free Facebook training course. So I need to post that, you know, every, I don't know, I picked a random, I think like every 3 days or something like that. I wanted to post a link back to my opt-in page. And now that I know more of what I'm doing, I don't do it quite that obsessively, but questions. So that's what I do. Questions. About how often you need to post.
Felicity, yes, just very quickly. On the Facebook post, you know how we have viral and organic?
Yeah.
I've been sort of watching my page feeds to see what's more exciting to people.
Right.
Can you just explain what those two words mean, please?
Yeah. Yeah, Facebook has a lot of really weird terminology. If you ever go and look at your insights on Facebook, which is Facebook's tracking software, organic means if I post a picture, if I post a funny picture, and 25 of my fans see it, that's organic. That means that, you know, I posted it, and by the nature of Facebook, 25 people saw it. If one of those 25 people then reshares it with their fans, you know, they share my picture, that's called going viral. So basically what Facebook is, so Facebook is tracking how many eyeballs looked at your post versus how many people actually passed it on, essentially.
Okay, so viral is sharing, organic is just when they see it.
Yep. Yeah.
So when it says Facebook is so many people have seen this post.
Yep.
Is that a successful post?
Well, it depends. It depends.
Yeah.
So I look at, when I look at my Facebook stats, there's a lot of information there. What I look at are two things. I want to know A, how many eyeballs are potentially reading my post.
Okay.
And B, how many people actually did something with my post, right? Because those are two very different statistics. So yeah. Reach will show you how many eyeballs potentially read your post. And so that's the first thing. You know, I wrote a message. How many people saw my message? Or maybe saw my message. You know, at least it showed up in their Facebook page. Whether they read it or not, you have no idea. Because, you know, Facebook doesn't have a way to track whether eyeballs actually read your post. Mm. So the first thing I want to know is how many eyeballs saw it, which is your reach. You know, 50 people, 20 people, 30 people. That's how many eyeballs saw it. But the second thing that I'm looking at, did anybody comment? Did anybody like it? Did anybody share it? Because that tells me not only are they reading, but they're actually interested enough in whatever the post was to write a comment, click the like button. Hopefully they shared it with their friends. And that's all part of engagement, and that's all part of going viral. So I look at two different things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can you just explain again the difference between organic and reach? Because I can't understand the difference at the moment.
Yeah, Facebook has this annoying habit of kind of calling things. They track different statistics that do the same thing, and I don't quite know what their problem is because it's a little complicated. I'm going to get in here so I can actually. Oh, and I wish I could share. Okay. So. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to look at mine too. So I can
the see other thing that you need to, and somebody asked about advertising on Facebook, so we might as well talk about that here because part of it goes into here.
Yeah.
Facebook has made it possible to do all kinds of advertising, right? You can boost your post, you can run an ad. So sometimes when they have organic on there, it's just their way of saying, you know, you didn't, without advertising, this is the number of people that saw your post. If you had, for example, I've promoted a couple of my posts earlier this year because I wanted to see what all the hoopla was about and also to see how hard it was to promote a post. And so when on those specific ones that I promoted, I had both organic and paid reach. And so the organic was the, you know, people who would have seen this post anyway, and then the paid reach was people who saw it because I paid for people to see it. so that's what organic, I mean, organic and reach are really the same thing. The reason that they call it two different things is because organic has to do with whether or not you've advertised it. I don't know why they didn't bother to update the word reach to just be organic, because it's the same thing. Does that make sense, Sue?
It does, thanks, yeah. Can I just ask something else quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
When you were talking about people seeing a post or their eyeballs seeing it, I mean, how, if you post something on your page and you've got people who like your page,
mm-hmm.
surely everybody will see it? Or is it people who just log into Facebook at a certain time?
Well, so this, my ladies, is why I really, really do not like Facebook. Facebook has what they call an edge rank algorithm. And basically, they look at a lot of different things when they push your post out to your fans. So in theory, yes, if like I have about 250 fans on my Facebook page, in theory, if I post something on my page, 250 people should see it. But they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Because Facebook has this EdgeRank algorithm, and there's a bunch of posts on it that are very technical and they talk about what it takes into account, but essentially they look at a couple of different things. They look at how engaged your fans are with you. So let's say that Helen always likes something that I post. She's always going to see my updates because she's always liking them. Facebook goes, oh, you know, Helen's really digging, you know, this Felicity Fields Facebook page. You know, we're always going to show Helen anything that comes off that page. If somebody goes to your Facebook page, clicks like, and then never interacts with you again, they're much less likely to see your posts because of this algorithm that Facebook uses. And Facebook changes this algorithm from time to time. When they introduced their new set of advertising options, they messed around again with this algorithm. So I used to be able, I have 250-ish fans on my Facebook page. The highest post I have had in the last couple of months has only gone out to 70 of those people. No more than 70 of my 250 fans have ever seen a post that I put out. You know, I don't, so what is that? That's roughly 30%? A little bit less than 30%? 30% would be if it was 210. So this is the major gripe about Facebook. You're going to see people complaining about this. If you actually, you know, dig into some of these posts about, you know, how do people actually see me on Facebook and what does this EdgeRank algorithm mean, you're going to see people complaining about this all the time. But it's Facebook. I mean, it's not like you can go to Facebook and say, what the hell? You know, why aren't more people seeing my posts? Because they're going to come back to you and they're going to say, if you want more people to see your posts, there's an option for that. It requires money. Because that's their business model.
That's why you boost your posts.
That's why you boost your posts. Yeah.
Okay.
They're trying to make money. So when you boost your posts, so there's a couple different advertising options. One of them is just boosting your post. And that's essentially you saying, okay, so if on average 50 people see this post and I want everybody to see that I have a new awesome blog that they're all going to want to read, then you can pay to boost your post, and then Facebook pushes your post out to people who don't normally see your updates that are your fans. And they also, you can also choose to push it out to their friends. So I could say, you know, I've got this great post, I want more than 70 people to see it. I could push it out to the rest of my 250 fans, or I could push it out to 250 fans and all their friends. And basically, Facebook keeps pushing until they run out of money. So you said it's $5, $10, or $15 US. I don't know if they do it in pounds for you all because you're in the UK or not. And basically, once you have reached as many people as $5 buys you, they stop. You know, they stop pushing your post out anymore. Or they reach as many people as $10 buys you, and they stop pushing it out. I think they have 3 days to do it. So basically, you know, you pick your level, and the more money you spend, the more friends of friends see your post. So that's, for better or for worse, that's Facebook's new business model. I mean, you know, they are a business, they're out to make money, and that's sort of why they keep messing around with how many people can see your post, because they really want you to spend money. Does that make sense, ladies?
Yeah. So at the moment, I don't have a Facebook page, but would you definitely recommend getting one?
So Facebook is really fabulous for connecting with people that already have met you in some other capacity, because that's what Facebook was built for, right? So now that the four of us have met on this call, you know, I would, you know, you would be much more likely to come over to my Facebook page and click the like button because we've had some sort of interaction. Facebook is terrible at introducing you to people who have never met you before, unless you want to do advertising. Unless you want to do paid advertising, Facebook is absolutely terrible at connecting you to people who have never heard of you before. So if you're doing a lot of networking, if you're hanging out on Twitter, if you're, you know, people are on your email list, if you're meeting people in person, Facebook is great. It's a great place to sort of channel people. But if you're only online and you're looking, if your problem right now is that you're just simply not meeting enough new people, then Facebook is not awesome.
Okay.
So it's the kind of platform you need so that when you grow, they've got somewhere to go and like you, because on the website, they're just going to go and visit your website, but they've got no way of really interacting with you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so people are really, so this is another one of those big picture things. So people go to your website, right, which they maybe find through Google, or they find because somebody told them about you. People are really wiggy about putting in their email address, right? I mean, when was the last time that you ladies went to a website and the very first time you were there, you entered your email address? It doesn't happen. You know, nobody does that anymore. So if you're meeting people and you want them to stay connected with you, you know, that's the whole goal. If you meet somebody that you think is either a good contact or a client or both, you want them to stay connected with you. If they're too wiggy to give you their email address right off the bat, Facebook is the place to go, because a lot of people are familiar with Facebook. They understand what it means when you say, go click the like on my page. You know, they get it. They get that, and it's easier, right? It's less intimidating than giving you their email address. It's less commitment. You know, if they don't like what you say, they can just ignore your posts on Facebook. So that's why a lot of businesses use Facebook. It's sort of that intermediary between getting people on your email list. But again, it only works if you're meeting these people and you're asking them to stay connected with you in some way. It's not great if, you know, if Facebook is the first interaction they have with you. Facebook is really not good with that kind of stuff. They have to have talked to you somewhere, met you on Twitter, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Okay, so any other big picture questions about how to use social media in general? I know we have blogging questions. I know we have website traffic questions.
Just hold on, Felicity. Just hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Are you guys all getting Felicity broken up?
Yes,
breaking up.
Really?
I thought it was just me for a minute. Okay. Felicity, I wonder if I should...
Do you want to call me back?
I wonder why you're breaking up a bit.
Yeah, that's weird. You all sound fine on my end.
Huh. Okay, talk a bit again.
Okay. So, any other Facebook...
You're still breaking up.
Okay.
So Helen, you're really clear. It's just Felicity that's breaking up.
Oh. That's strange.
Do you want to call me back in, Helen?
Yeah, I'll call you back in.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
I sit very still. I thought it was my cable here that was causing the crackling.
That was so cool. It said that all four of you were calling me in.
Okay, let's see if we can see, hear you better.
So, am I still crackly? Can you hear me?
Still breaking up.
It's still breaking up.
I don't know what to do about that.
I wonder why.
I'm
just looking at my weather, which is rubbish.
Yeah, it's the weather across the Atlantic, I think.
It's something's flown in our path on Skype.
Well, that's rude, because it's actually trying to be sunny out here.
Oh, man. You sound okay every now and then.
Is it too terrible to continue? I mean, is it too frustrating to hear me?
No, I can still make out. Yeah.
Carry on. I think it sounds a bit better now.
I moved a little bit closer to my microphone, so maybe that'll cut down on some of the...
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Some of the static. Okay, so... Any more... Since we're on Facebook, any more Facebook-specific questions?
There was that one on how you increase likes and followers to your Facebook page.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. So, because Facebook is a great way to, you know, to draw people in who have met you somewhere, the best way to increase likes and followers on your Facebook page is literally to put it everywhere. Put it in your email signature. Put it on your business card. Put it in your, you know, if you really want people to be over on Facebook, if, you know, when they join your email list, you know, say, hey, now that you've joined my email list, you might also want to connect with me on Facebook. you know, having the social share buttons on your blog post, having the, you know, join me on, you know, the buttons that we all see on everybody's website that says, you know, join me on Pinterest, Facebook, whatever. The more places that you can find to sort of put these, I'm also on Facebook, the more likely people are going to be to finally go, oh, I should follow this person on Facebook. Okay. In terms of getting likes and followers actually on Facebook itself, the other thing that people like to do often is run a contest. I'm sure you guys have all seen, you know, all kinds of contests running on Facebook, but running contests on Facebook is not free, you know, in the sense that just asking people to come like your page is free, because Facebook has a big stick up its butt about how you can run contests on Facebook. They work really well, you know, I mean, they work really, really well. They could say, hey, you know, come over and like my page, you know, between now and June 15th, and I'll randomly pick, you know, two people to get a free coaching session, for example, right? Or if you had a product business, you know, and like my page and get a 15% off, you know, discount coupon. The problem is that by Facebook's rules of service, you can't just post that on your page and make the act of liking your page their way to enter your contest. Because Facebook essentially says, I don't want to have any liability for your contest. So you have to
So they have a certain system.
You have to use a third-party app. Just like on a smartphone, you know, you download an app that does something specific. Facebook has a bunch of third-party apps, and you have to go through one of these third-party applications to run your contest. And they're not expensive, you know, but most of them require you to pay something to set them up and use them. And some of them are, you know, $5 a month. Some of them are very swanky, and they're somewhere up in the $30 or $40 a month range. But they work really well because it gives people an incentive, right? You're not just saying, hey, come over and like my page. You're saying, hey, come over and you have a chance to win, you know, something, you know, a coaching session or a free t-shirt or, you know, whatever it is that you're giving away. Product companies that have products to give away use them often, you know, because they have discount coupons, they can give away products. So aside from telling everybody you know over and over and over and over and over again to come like your Facebook page, the other way to get a lot of new followers is to run, you know, what they call a contest or a sweepstakes. But it is a little bit more complicated than just saying, hey, come over and like my page.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about the strategy? I'm at the moment posting blogs in various Facebook groups and not getting much result. Is that a waste of time?
So when you say you're not getting much result, you mean nobody is coming back to your website or nobody's joining your list?
The odd person maybe likes it and the odd person, you know, posts a comment. But in terms of getting people coming to opt in, I'm not getting very much at all.
Okay. So I was just on an awesome webinar with Laura Roeder, who did how to build your list with social media. And so there's two parts to using your blog. One of them is to get people to your website, to actually get them to read the blog. And that's what social media is good for. You know, social media, you put your blog out there, you know, people click on the link and they come to read your blog post. That is social media's only job. So if it's doing your job, if the odd person is coming over from social media to your blog and they're reading your blog and they're commenting, social media has done its job. The second part of that is getting them on your list, right? And that's where, do you have, at the bottom of your blog post, do you have an email sign up box?
Yes? Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Does it just say, join my list to get more great updates, or do you give away something for free?
I direct them to my website, which has got the free a free report on it.
Okay.
I can sign up for.
Okay, and the box at the bottom of your blog post, does it say, you know, for more great information on blah blah blah, sign up to get your free report?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. Uh-huh.
That's great.
Sure. They can't actually sign up there. They would have to then go to the website to sign up.
But is your blog in a different place than your website?
No, it's on my website, yeah.
Okay. So So you're miles ahead of most people, because most people, they just put a blog post up there and they assume that people are going to be motivated enough to figure out how to sign up for their list. So that's great. I think, Susan, the problem may just be that you don't have enough eyeballs. You don't have enough people. There's just, you don't have enough numbers, because conversion rates are different, but if you have a blog post that has a spot, you know, at the bottom, it's very clear, you know, get your free report if you put your email here. A really, really awesome blog post maybe gets somewhere between 30 and 40% of the people who read the post to actually sign up. And that's like, you know, A plus, the best you can possibly expect. So if you're only getting, you know, 5 or 10 people to read your blog and your statistics aren't in the A plus range, you know, maybe 20% of the people that come to your blog post enter their email, then you may just not have enough numbers. You know, you may just not have enough people.
Okay.
So do you have...
How do you increase the numbers that read your blog?
Well, yeah.
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It's a huge challenge. Because there are a lot of blog posts out there. And again, those of us who are sort of in this field of working with small businesses and entrepreneurs, there's a lot of blogs out there. I have the same problem, you know, with my blog. There are a lot of people out there who are blogging in a similar sphere. So there's two parts to this question. The immediate answer is, how do you get more people to read your blog? And that is, you grow your social media following, because that's what's driving traffic back to your site. So you either grow your social media following, or you focus on getting to be, you know, number one or number two or number three in the Google search results. Because there are really only two ways that people find your blog. They either find it through a random search on Google, or they find it because somebody linked to it on social media. I mean, those are really the only two ways that people end up on your site. So you pursue one of those strategies. And for those of us who have limited budgets, shall we say, showing up a number one on Google is really not an option for us. So, you know, growing our social media following, putting our blog out there everywhere, that is really how you drive people back to it. The other way to do it is to guest post on other people's blogs. So, which is part of why I follow all these people on Twitter. For example, Laura Roeder, the gal that I mentioned earlier that did the webinar, her email list is around 46,000 people. So if I could get a blog, if I could guest post on her blog, right? And she has something like 23,000 Facebook fans and 23,000-ish Twitter followers. If I could write a blog post for her and she would share that with all of her Facebook friends, Twitter followers, her email list, that puts me in front of, you know, 40,000 new faces.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, I mean, and ideally you're doing both. I mean, you're growing your own followers and you're posting on guest, you know, because what you're doing with guest posting is you're putting yourself in front of somebody else's audience that they've already done the hard work, right? they've already built up this big group of people who are looking at, you know, who are eager to consume information, and then you put yourself in front of them. It's a different strategy, because when you post on somebody else's site, you're going to have an author box at the bottom, and it's going to bring people back right to your opt-in page that talks about how they can get your freebie. So it doesn't bring them back to your blog. It brings them right back to an opt-in page, you know, and you say, hey, you know, Helen, you just saw my guest post over on, you know, howtobuildanawesomebusiness.com. Here's a free report that I really think you'd get a lot out of. You know, here's what's involved. Enter your email. And then, bam, you know, you've got people on your email list. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the big question. You know, how do you get people back to your email list? How do you get people to read your stuff? I mean, you either have to focus on being in Google, or you have to put yourself out in front of audiences that already exist. And that's either guest posting or building up your own following.
It sounds like blogging is like, I read a Twitter feed today that blog, there was the death of the blog or something, but there's no death of the blog, is there?
Not really, no. But it is harder for us small businesses to blog than it used to be. You know, when blogging first started out, it was new, right? It was like Facebook was 5 years ago. You know, it was new, it was exciting. Yeah. Nobody was doing it. You know, now, and I'm not saying over the long run, there are advantages to blogging and there are advantages to sort of the Google method. You know, for one thing, your blogs give you something to post on social media, right? So they give you something of your own to post on social media, which you need to be doing. You know, you need to be reminding people that you have your own business, not just that you're, you know, sharing other people's awesome stuff. It's something for other people to share with their lists. It's something for you if you write a weekly email. A lot of people use their blog as the main content for their weekly email. So you're basically getting two uses out of it. And in the long run, publishing a blog on a set schedule, you know, if you're reliably publishing a blog every week or every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, that does count for Google. The problem is it takes a really long time to sort of build up that cachet with Google. But Google is also paying attention to, you know, do you have relevant, interesting stuff? Do you post often? That kind of thing. So blogging isn't dead, but it's being used differently than it used to be.
I'm wondering if all the other girls are thinking the same thing I'm thinking, is that my biggest challenge is finding my target market on social media. And I constantly question myself as to whether they're there. you know, we're all there, and all these lovely coaches and consultants and solopreneurs and whatever. We all are on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and, you know, Pinterest, etc.
Right.
Because we're new to the social marketing thing, and we realize the power of it. But I don't know if our target market is there, and that's the challenge I find I'm having.
Yeah, and that...
Yeah, I agree, Helen.
Yeah,
it's like a million-dollar question, and a lot of it has to do with doing your own research. And asking people. I mean, I know one of the questions was, you know, aside from asking people, how do we know who's hanging out, you know, who's hanging out where? Some of it is asking your ideal clients, you know, people that you know in your sphere who are possibilities, you know, hey, you know, where do you spend time? Do you actually use Facebook for something other than personal reasons? Because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
You know, are you on Twitter? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you on... You know, where are you? Where do you spend your time online? Some places you can do research. So, for example, Facebook is really cool. If you go into, it's a sort of a complicated thing, and I wish I could show you my screen because it would be much easier. But if you go into the Facebook ad panel.
Into the what?
So on Facebook. The Facebook ad panel.
Oh, create adverts.
Facebook ads.
Oh, Facebook ads. Yes. Sorry, I'm with you.
Yeah. So yeah. if you go through the Facebook advert, you're not going to create an advert, but what you can do on Facebook is they have all these, they call them targeting options. So you can see things like if you only wanted to work with people in the UK, you could see how many people are in the UK. You could parse it out by age. You could parse it out by interest. You can parse it out by all kinds of different things. So that gives you at least some idea of who has a Facebook account that matches your...
Yes, I remember you telling me about this.
It doesn't tell you...
Describe it to the girls when we have another conversation, because I don't think they can hear you clearly enough to get it.
Yeah, it's a little complicated. But the thing you have to... So, I mean, it tells you how many people have Facebook profiles that fit the set of criteria you're looking for. It does not tell you how active they are on Facebook. It only tells you how many of them exist, but at least it's a start, right? At least it tells you how many people are out there that are what you're looking for.
That's true, because that is the challenge, you know. I think we're all getting quite clued up at the social media marketing thing now, but it's about just wondering if we really, if this is where we've got to spend our time. And I think it's important to do a mix of everything in the marketing mix, whatever the word is.
Well, a lot of it, honestly, social media is still new to a lot of people, you all included, and your clients are somewhat the same way. You know, even though it's really, really hard to get people on your email list, Once they're on your email list, email is still far and away the single most effective way to communicate with people. The trouble, of course, is getting them on that list in the first place.
Yeah.
But everybody understands email. They understand how it works. You know, you end up in their inbox whenever you write. I mean, the holy golden grail of all of us really is to have a huge email list. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day how many Facebook followers or Twitter followers we have. You know, most people aren't going to buy your service, your coaching session from Twitter or Facebook. They're going to buy it because they've been on your email list, because they have a deeper connection with you than social media gives them.
Yeah.
So okay. At the end of the day, email is kind of the holy golden grail, but social media exists because it's sort of a halfway house.
Yeah. That all makes sense.
Okay,
brilliant. So... I am conscious that we're struggling to hear you, though.
Oh, bummer.
I really can't hear you, Felicity. You're really breaking up.
This is very hard.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what else I can do.
And you've got so much brilliant information.
I know. Frustrating.
Oh, I'm wondering what we do, guys. Should we,
I suppose we could all try dialing back in. Does that help?
I don't know, because all of us sound quite clear, so I think it's an Atlantic thing.
Yeah, true.
Sorry, Felicity, we don't mean to blame the US or anything.
Oh, that's okay. We've been blamed for quite a lot of things the last few years.
So I'm wondering, maybe if we've just got a few more key questions, what we could do is if we post them one by one on our coaching group, on the network group, and if you wouldn't mind answering any of those, Felicity, would you mind that?
No, that would be fine.
Oh, I'm sorry to cause you more work, though.
That's okay.
You sound good now, all of a sudden.
You too.
Well, we can keep going or we can sign off.
You there?
How does it sound now?
Am I loud and clear?
No.
Yeah. Should we do that, guys? What do you think?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, it's
such a shame.
You're so brilliant, though. You're an absolute star for this. You really are.
You are.
No problem. Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions in the Facebook group. That's fine.
Okay, and then if there's anything, I mean, maybe, you know, you guys know where Felicity is now, and you should have her contact details as well. So, you know, feel free to connect offline, you know, away from this setting too. But I know she was really helpful to me and just kind of talks in plain English, which really helps. Even though Facebook supposedly is plain English, it uses words that don't always make sense.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is Felicity gone now?
No, I'm still here.
How weird.
I thought somebody had dropped out there.
No, I sent a message to the chat window. I put my email address in there so you guys can also email me if you have questions.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Brilliant. And I'm really grateful. I'm sure they all agree that, you know, your time is so amazingly generous. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll have another one with a proper webinar process, because this is just a test. It works quite well, doesn't it?
It's fantastic.
It does, yeah. I just find with Skype, this often happens. I don't know, maybe it's something to do with my computer as well, but I don't know whether we could try. Has anybody used GoToWebinar or anything like that?
Well, I have on other people's webinars, but I must maybe just sign up for it myself. Can you sign up free?
There's a free 30-day trial version, but after that, it's $99 a month.
$99?
Yes.
Oh, my lordy. Okay, yeah. I know what. We each sign up each month.
It's a good idea, Helen. We just have to keep bringing new members in.
Yeah.
You remember to cancel at the end of the month.
Yes.
How funny. Okay, so we need a free webinar process. I don't know what the Google one is like.
Well, it's Google Hangouts, which is supposed to be quite good, but I've not tried it.
Okay. Because I think you can have up to 10 people on that.
Yeah. You have to be connected.
Okay.
You have to be connected. You have to be circled with people before you can do it.
You have to be connected.
Yep.
Okay. No, I'm not connected on Google Hangout. Oh, bugger. Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll do some research and see what we've got. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm still here.
Yeah, so are we.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say goodbye then. And Felicity, again, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Thanks, Helen, too, for setting it up.
A pleasure. And good morning.
See you again.
Okay.
Thanks, Felicity.
You're welcome. Bye, ladies.
Take care.
Bye.
Felicity, enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye.
That was awesome. That was so fun.